upon the ungrateful and the wicked. He sends his rain upon the ungrateful and the wicked. He sends blessings and has compassion for all, regardless of how they treat him. Isn't that something? That's who the God is. We become his children when we imitate him. Now, God wants to be known, obviously, as a God of compassion. But I suggest to you that Jesus does too. And he wants us also to be known as people of compassion. At work or in your neighborhood or wherever, people look around and say, now, who's the most compassionate person here at work? Who's the most compassionate person in your neighborhood? Who should they think of? They should think of you, shouldn't they? People of compassion. Now, when we look at Jesus, it reminds me of, you know, we sometimes say about a child, like father, like son, he's chipped off the old blocks, got his father's mom, mother's eyes. You look at people and you see the kids bear resemblance to their parents. But more so physically, we need to be bearing resemblance to Jesus, bears resemblance to God, his father. In fact, in John 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, Jesus Christ, he has explained him. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at the Father. You're looking at God. So whatever Jesus does here upon the earth is really who God is. That's what God is like. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So when we look at Jesus, we're looking at the Father. Now, if you just had to use one word to describe Jesus, which word would you use? You might use the word love. Okay, I'll grant you that. Love could be a good word to use there. But what about the word compassion? You think of him as compassion. I suggest to you, after we finish studying today, I hope you'll look at him. Maybe one word that'll pop in your mind whenever you think of Jesus is compassion. What does it mean to be compassionate? What is compassion? Compassion has to do with being moved in your inward parts. Being moved in your inward parts. Being moved in your bowels. Being moved. Now, whenever I think of that, I always think about this sometimes. Sometimes you have something that's kind of really going on inside of you, and your bowels start moving. And what do when your bowels start moving? You run as fast as you can to the bathroom because action's about to take place. Something's about to happen, right? Well, the same thing's true when our inner part is moved with emotion and feeling for the suffering and the pain and the hurt of other people. It needs to not just be a feeling we have. It needs to be something that moves us to do something, for action to take place. And so to be effective, even to the core of your being, profound emotional response to someone or something, in Jesus, compassion always led him to action. Every time you read about him having compassion, you'll see him do something to try to help fix the problem, to solve the problem. So compassion is just not sympathy. Compassion is not just feeling for somebody. Compassion is something inside of you that just moves you to where you want to do something to help. Something, do something to help fix it, whatever the problem is. Now somebody says, okay, how do you harmonize all that you're talking about with suffering? You know, I got all kinds of junk in my life, like all kinds of problems. I've got loss of loved ones, I've got loss of job, I've got loss of health, I've got loss of friendship, I've got this going on and that going on, all this trouble. Jesus could just snap his fingers, couldn't he? And my problems would be all over, couldn't he? Couldn't he just snap his fingers and your problem would be all over with? He could. So why doesn't he? That's the question we always have to face is, okay, if God can do all these things, why doesn't he do all of those things? Can I suggest to you that there must be reasons why it's beneficial to us to go through difficulties and problems and things, that it really helps us develop our character and we grow and we develop through doing that? Otherwise, why would Jesus didn't stop it all, but what did he do? He came down here and got right in the middle of it with us. He didn't exempt himself from what we go through, did he? Does Jesus know what it's like to be hungry? Does Jesus know what it's like to be thirsty? Does he know what it's like to be tired? Does he know what it's like to be poor? Didn't he have a place to lay his head, a pillow to lay his head on? Didn't own anything? Does he know what it's like to be betrayed by friends? Does he know what it's like to be lied about and hated without a cause? Does Jesus know those things? Yeah. He came here and went through it with us. So let's never think that it's not that he can't do it, but there must be a reason why we need to go through what we go through, because he came through and said, I'm going to go through it with you. I'm going to experience everything you experience. We'll talk about that a little later. But how can we call his compassion into question? When we read the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how can we question his compassion? We ask, does Jesus care about all my trouble? How much does he love me? look at that man hanging on the cross. Whenever you're called to ask the question, or question whether God loves you, you just look at that man on the cross. And you see what price he paid. What he did for you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It tells me what he did. Greater love has no man than this. He laid out his life for his friends. So Jesus was moved with compassion, is what our title is today. And just notice that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus got up to preach in the city of hometown of Nazareth, he talked about the fact, he quoted back from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what the Messiah came to do. Heal the brokenhearted. Give deliverance, recovery, help to those who need it. Jesus had the perfect expression of all human emotions, didn't he? He was truly touched and moved and affected by us. Now, it's really easy for us to walk by somebody that's suffering and kind of look the other way and not be moved or touched by that. But you know, Jesus, who is higher than heaven and earth, the King of the universe, when he was down here, he could not walk past somebody that had a problem or was suffering without being moved by it and wanting to do something to help. That's the one we serve. That's Jesus. Matthew 12, verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. When somebody's on their last breath, they're down just to the very end, he's not going to say, hey, okay, you're done. He tries to fan the flame. He tries to help, regardless of what the circumstance. Jesus did so many things because he was moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So he saw sick people, was moved by that, and he helped them. He comes across this leper, a man eaten up, full of leprosy. And the man says to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Imagine touching a leper. Reached out and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Wow. Is that compassion? A man of the death sentence? Leprosy. Matthew 20, verse 30. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us! Have pity on us! O Lord, thou son of David. The crowd rebuked them and told them, be quiet! Shut up over there! Be quiet! He don't want to hear from you. But they shouted all the louder, saying, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us! Jesus stopped in his tracks and he called to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they told him, Lord, that our eyes might be opened. You know, there's all kinds of miracles in the Old Testament. One miracle you don't see in the Old Testament is healing a blind person. There wasn't any blind person in the Old Testament healed, but Jesus does it a bunch of times here, doesn't he? They even raised the dead back then, but they didn't heal the blind. And Jesus heals the blind, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them. And he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. That's Matthew chapter 20. That's going. So he touched their eyes, and their eyesight came back, and they followed him. And then also, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was following with her. Now imagine this poor woman. She's lost her husband, and now she's lost her only son. Every visible means of support is gone. Nobody to support her, nobody to care for her, nobody to take care of her, all of her relationships gone. And they're on the way to the funeral. Now, be careful when you invite Jesus to a funeral, right? Because you're carrying the boy along. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, weep not. Notice she didn't ask for anything. He just kept her and volunteered. He saw her in her sorrow going. He just came up and said, I got compassion. Don't weep. But when he saw her, his heart went out to her. He said, don't cry. That's to tell somebody at the funeral, don't cry. But What's going to happen is he went up and he touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Luke chapter 7. Isn't that awesome? How much rejoicing do you think there was? Jesus showed compassion upon that poor woman and delivered the son back to her. You remember in John chapter 11, Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, was sick and finally died. And then Jesus came to Bethany where the sisters were there grieving. And when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. This was John chapter 11. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He was deeply moved and troubled. And he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. At the funeral, where he knew he's just about to raise the man from the dead, get back to the city. But he wept. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with a deep feeling and troubled by this. And the Jews said, see how he loved him? See how much Jesus loved him? And then he is raised from the dead. Now I'm moving over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we see, during those days another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse along the way because some of them have come a long distance. Jesus has raised a man from the dead. Jesus has healed a leper. Jesus has opened the eyes of the blind. And now he even notices people are hungry. They've been 3 days and haven't eaten. They're going to pass out on the way home. We got to do something to feed them. And he told his disciples to feed them. And of course, they only had the 5 little loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus said, hey, let's bless it and let's send it out. And he fed the 5,000 men besides women and children and picked up 12 baskets full afterwards. And Jesus had compassion upon all people. Now remember the story Jesus told about when the man wanted to know what he should do for eternal life. And he said, well, you're a lawyer, you tell me. And he said, oh, well, he said, love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, strength of mind. Love your neighbor yourself. So he said, good job, go do it. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Wanted to justify himself. He said, oh, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told this parable, this famous parable. Now, he says that a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where let's skip the first part of it here. This man is traveling from, I'm assuming a Jewish man, traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, why would the Jewish man go from Jerusalem to Jericho? It's because he was going to cross the Jordan River and go around the nation of Samaria in order to avoid having to be around those despicable Samaritan people and those worthless, useless people that he didn't have any use for and they didn't have any use for him. So he's on his way around Samaria to go to Galilee, and he falls among thieves who beat him and strip him and leave him half dead in the ditch. And along comes a priest who ignores him. Along comes a Levite who goes over and looks at him. And all that then goes on his way. And then a Samaritan happens to show up. And what does it say? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's Luke chapter 10, we're reading. Now notice that man was damaged by other people. The reason he was in that situation is because of what other people had done to him, right? And we find that he had compassion on him. When he had compassion on him, what did he do? He treated the wounds. He fed him. He put him on his donkey. He took him to the inn. He took care of him. When he left the next day, he gave the man some extra money and said, here, take care of this man. And when I get back, if I owe you some more, I'll pay you. You know that compassion often calls for us to be inconvenienced. You think that man was inconvenienced by doing this? Cost us money, cost us time, cost us trouble, messes with our schedule, messes with our life. Compassion calls us to do things we wouldn't ordinarily have planned to do. And then you remember the story the man that fell among thieves. It wasn't his doing, some people did that to him, messed him up because they attacked him and beat him. But then you got the prodigal son who gets his inheritance, and goes away and wastes all his money, comes back with nothing, begs his father forgiveness and let him be a servant. The father hears nothing about it, though. When he arose, he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and what? Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, isn't that a picture of our Father in heaven? When we're coming back to him? He had compassion, ran, kissed him, hugged him, put a new robe, put a ring on his finger, killed a fatted calf. Celebrate! My son that is dead is found, is alive. My son that was lost is now found. That's God's attitude toward one that repents and comes back to him, isn't it? He has compassion. Compassion. You remember the woman who caught in adultery? Brought before the people, and they're ready to stone him. And wanted Jesus to tell them whether they should stone him or not. And Jesus said, let the one that's without sin cast the first stone. We're your accusers. They're gone. All left. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin anymore. John chapter 8, verse 11. Is that compassion? Is that doing something to help somebody? How often do we sing the song from John Newton? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Can you imagine sheep not having a shepherd? What kind of shape would they be in? Obviously the wolves would eat them, or predators would eat them. They wouldn't have anything to eat or drink. They'd be wandering around lost, have no idea where they're going, getting themselves hurt, couldn't do anything. Sheep are about the most dependent animals on the earth. About the most dependent animals. And without a shepherd, they're going to be in big trouble, right? And Jesus looked at all these people that were like sheep without a shepherd. They had nobody to guide them, nobody to direct them, nobody to help them. They were on their own. You see, when Jesus would heal people, especially on the Sabbath day, how would the Pharisees, their leaders, react to that? They had no compassion at all, did they? No compassion at all for the people that were being healed when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day. But Jesus would turn around and say, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I'm willing to die for the sheep. Those people won't do anything for the sheep, but I'm going to die for the sheep, like it says in John chapter 10. The Pharisees couldn't stand Jesus, could they? Couldn't stand him. No, they began to plot how they might kill him. Every time he did one of these Sabbath miracles, they began to plot how they might kill him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Remember the time that Jesus comes into the synagogue and a man with a withered arm is there. And they kind of put the man there as a test to Jesus to try to see what he would do. See if he'd heal him so they could have something to accuse him of. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand in front of everyone. Then he asked, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or do evil? To save life or to kill? You see, he was going to help somebody and heal somebody on the Sabbath day, wasn't he? What did they want to do on the Sabbath day? They wanted to kill Jesus on the Sabbath day. They wanted to do murder. They wanted to destroy on the Sabbath day. But they remained silent. And he looked around at them in anger. We don't read very often that Jesus getting angry, do we? Just a few times. This is one of them. Looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed over their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. He got angry. Why? He was angry at the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. Let me ask you this. When you see the bum in the gutter, you see the homeless man on the street, when you see the person that's looking for help, what's your first reaction? The judgment? Or is it compassion? Which was the first reaction of the Pharisees? Which was the first reaction of Jesus? Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And Jesus brings that in and quotes that here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He said, go figure out what this verse means, that I desire mercy for the sacrifice. Or in Matthew chapter 12, 7 and 8, he said, but if you had known what this means, that I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You're condemning me and my apostles. But he said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You need to go back and figure out what this verse means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Are Christians more like Jesus or more like Pharisees? in how we react to people that have needs. Somebody said, if I have not compassion on my fellow servant, even as my Lord had pity on me, that I know nothing of Calvary's love. I don't know anything about Calvary, what Jesus did for me on the cross, if I can look at somebody else and not have pity on them. We aren't called to be like other Christians, though, are we? We're called to be like Christ. And if other people aren't doing it, no reason why we shouldn't, because we're not following them, we're following Him. So my plea to us today is to soften our hearts. Soften our hearts. You remember Romans chapter 12, verse 14? Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says 26 and 27, if one part of the body suffers, then all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part is honored, then all the other parts share its honor. All of you together, the body of Christ, each one of you is part of that body. If you were walking along and you stubbed your toe, what's the rest of the body say about that toe? Oh, you poor thing, it's terrible, awful. Whatever happens, if you get something in your eye, your whole body sympathizes. If you sprain your knee, your whole body sympathizes. The whole body cares what happens to any individual member. And that's the way the church should be. And the way we should be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, clothe yourself. What do you think clothe yourself with? Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Clothe yourself with compassion. What clothes should you wear? The clothes of compassion. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:14, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. And then in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or deed, but in deed and in truth. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Don't withhold good when you have the power to act. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after the orphans and widows in the distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Pure religion has to do with taking care of the widows and orphans and living holy lives. How do I respond when I see someone hurting? How should I respond? There's a verse out of a song. I don't know the tune of the song, but I saw the words of the song. Says, have I done any good in the world today? Have I helped anyone in need? Have I cheered up the sad and made someone feel glad? If not, I have failed indeed. Has anyone's burden been lighter today because I was willing to share? Have the sick and the weary been helped on their way when they needed my help? Was I there? When they needed my help, was I there? Look at this little girl. Trying to help Jesus pick up his cross. He's fallen under the cross, and she wants to help him. And we think, that's funny, right? That's funny. The little girl wanted to help Jesus. But you know what? Jesus said, I tell you, you do it to one of the least of my brethren, you do it unto me. Remember Paul, Peter and John coming to the temple at the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3? Silver gold you don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. You tell me what you don't have, but you have. What I have, I give you. You know, this is a compassion. That's a compassion that you're sharing with somebody. The things that help them get to heaven. John Wesley said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. So you can memorize that one. That'd be a good one to help remind you of what to do about the amazing compassion of Jesus. The amazing compassion of Jesus. Have you experienced the compassion of Jesus? Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus has been through it all. There's nothing you're going through that Jesus hasn't been through.
He knows, he understands. You can talk to him about it, he knows and understands. We wrap up with Hebrews 4, Virginia 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's a sympathetic, compassionate high priest who wants you to come to him when you have trouble and bring it to him to find help in time of need. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who covers us in all our trouble so that we can comfort others in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. One of the reasons we suffer is so we can learn about the value of comfort, and we're in position to go and help somebody when they need help. I've been through that. I know what you're talking about. I've experienced that. Let me help you with that. And so we comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. As Christians, we not only receive the compassion of Christ, we must become compassionate people ourselves. Infant Christians draw attention to themselves, but mature Christians point people to Jesus, the compassionate one. Psalm we're going to sing, Oh, to be like thee. Verse 2 of that psalm says, Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, holy and harmless, and so forth. So we're going to sing about compassion, to be like Jesus. And then he says in that psalm, the last verse says, Oh, to be like thee and follow you wherever, give myself to you. We need to show compassion to other people, but we also need to come to him. If you receive compassion from Jesus, he's offered it, and you accepted it. If you need to respond to the gospel today and become a child of God, we'd love to assist you and help you with it as we stand to sing to encourage you.